Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the form that they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Hello and welcome everyone to a Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. I haven't said that in a long time, let me tell you, but it feels great. I'm so happy to be here on the Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast. And, of course, not just me. As you can see, I'm joined by my friend Sarah Sanchez. What's up, Sarah? How are you?
I mean, Kyle Tucker is a Cub. I'm doing great. How are you, Britton? Oh, I haven't seen you since Arizona.
I know. I'm so happy to see you too, because what's been going on is this offseason is super exciting. Plus, the Cubs are at the forefront of making all these moves. And as we discussed, your hatred of Hoyer, the general manager or CEO or whatever he's called, may start to ebb a little bit. Got rid of Cody Bellinger. I don't know. That may be a pretty good deal, but we'll get to all that. I don't want to get y'all fired up too early. But Sarah, please tell everyone where they can find you and your great podcast with Shelley Vergestrate called The Fantasy Feud.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Shelley and I co-host a podcast on the Pitcherless Network called Fantasy Feud. You can find it at the Pitcherless Podcast Network, award-winning Pitcherless Podcast Network. People, you can also find my writing at Baseball HQ. I'm actually working on a piece for Playing Time Tomorrow column there now. We're doing some recaps of winter meetings over there. So if you are not a Baseball HQ subscriber, check it out. It's great. I've been really busy, man. So I write for Bleed Cubby Blue. I'm kind of known as the Cubs girl. So I've been doing a lot of writing with the moves that the Cubs have had, the Tucker trade, the Bellinger trade, the moves that could come after that, which I think there must be a few. We'll get into it, I'm sure. And then last but certainly not least, I just recently had a piece post earlier this week for the FTN Fantasy Draft Guide, which I was really excited about. So it's been all over the place, all over.
Congratulations. You're killing it. And when you say award winning, that doesn't surprise me, because when I last saw you out in Arizona at First Pitch, you know, shout out Baseball HQ, Ray and Brent and all those guys, where we did our podcast out there. We did a Fantasy Feud, maybe we didn't call it that. I can't remember because of like trademark reasons or something. I don't know. But we did the little game show. And as I recall, you won every step of the way, dominated all these ego-driven men out there strutting around, and you just came in there like a sniper. They call it Day of the Jackal on Netflix. I call it Day of Sarah sniping those A's. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody's really nice. But, yeah, congratulations. You killed it, and that was a whole lot of fun. Thank you again for participating.
Oh, my gosh. It was the most fun. So shout-out to Sam, who made like the most amazing, he made the whole board and he did the sound effects. He did the whole thing, all the questions. It was great. Our little team shoved. It was Lauren Auerbach was on that team. We had Torres was on that team and Speary from Pitcher List. And I'm blanking on who was our Palazzo person. We had a Palazzo.
You have to go. Hopefully you'll go to our YouTube channel and check out the broadcast. It was recorded, but it was an all-star team.
OG champions right here.
Yes, fantasy baseball people, including Our team too, which had Derek Van Riper, and please forgive me, I can't remember, I can barely remember what I did last week, much less a month ago, but yeah, you know, I know, I remember Derek Van Riper was sitting next to me, and I guess I was at the front, but we had a bunch of great people. It was a lot of fun. Shout out to Sam Wershing for setting it all up, and of course, shout out to Michael Govier too. And also shout out to Mike VA. He wasn't able to make it, but he was there in spirit. And also Big General Ben and Robbie Baseball. So we got a whole group of people that kind of helped make it work. But yeah, Sam was the MVP definitely for that first pitch, Arizona.
Well, and so, everybody loved it so much. I've been in Brent's ear trying to get him to bring it back as like an official thing. Because truly, I think that the Fantasy Feud, Family Feud thing, it was the most fun thing ever. In fact, there was I don't even know what the panel was. There was some very important panel going on next door talking about like bat speed metrics and, you know, very important scientific stuff. And they kept hearing us erupting with laughter in the room next door, and everybody in the bat speed thing is like, what's over there? Why is everybody having so much fun next door?
Yeah, it's like you have the big kids. It's like you have the adult table, and then you have the little kids table. And we're definitely here at the Palazzo Podcast. We're in charge of the little kids table. You know, over there, Eno Saris is talking about spin rates, and you know, Nick Pollock like PLV plus and you know, very technical, brilliant metrics, saber metrics, and things like that. And over here, you know, we're clowning around, but it's all fun. See, and that's the thing about first pitch. Like you can go learn that. You can go have fun. You can go to the bar. You can go to the Arizona Fall League games. You can hang out with me. You can hang out with Sarah. You can hang out with anybody. Everybody's real nice, so it's a good time. But since then, so much has happened for us to talk about, and every time I see a Chicago Cubs move, I think of you first, and I always think, because I know that your hatred of a certain member of the brass in the Chicago Cubs organization always cracks me up, because I'm like, I wonder what Sarah thinks about these moves. So let's get to the most recent one. That all these moves have fantasy impact, obviously. Cody Bellinger is going to the Yankees, first base outfield eligible. Cody Bellinger's, if you look at his Statcast metrics, not great, Bob. They're not Kyle Schwarber. They're kind of more like Chris Bryant these days, you know, to bring it back to your team a few years, your World Series team. But I don't think it matters when you've got a 314 short porch to hit left when you're a lefty bat hitting righties down there. What do you think?
I agree with you. So, interesting fact about Cody Bellinger. I was just working on a Park Effects piece, kind of trying to dig in to some of the metrics. And I actually wrote about this for Bleed Cubby Blue specific to the Cubs about a month ago for a feature we have called BCB After Dark. That it's basically, I was like, where did all the home runs go at Wrigley? Because Wrigley Field was one of the worst parks for home runs last year. But in chatting with the director of baseball analytics and data at Pitcherless, Kyle Bland, one of the things I was able to dig into with Kyle, because Kyle is a genius man, y'all. Like, if you've not talked to Kyle Bland before, you have to. He's so brilliant. He'll make you smarter just by talking to him. He was noting that it was really a lefty power hit, right? Like, so Cody Bellinger, Michael Busch, Pete Crow Armstrong. Now, consider for a second, I have Michael Busch in there, who had an outstanding rookie campaign for the Chicago Cubs that was being suppressed by Park Effects, and you can see it in his splits. But for Cody Bellinger, what that meant was he had a 99 WRC plus at Wrigley Field. He had a 117 on the road, and he no longer has to hit a ball 358 feet to get it out from the corner, right? Like, Wrigley has that weird little cutout, that little elbow there, so it's actually shorter to the power alleys than it is to the corner. Belly hits a lot of pool fly balls. So I really think Yankee Stadium, you could not ask for a better place landing spot for Bellinger. I was super bummed, actually. I had him in my queue for a Gladiator draft I was doing the other night. And there was a mini catcher run, and I was worried I was going to lose the last catcher I found acceptable. So I took Shea Langeliers instead. And then Bellinger went like four picks later. And then the trade news dropped. And I'm like, man, there's not going to be like a ninth or 10th round Bellinger again this season. That's not going to happen because the man just gained like 5 or 6 home runs immediately.
100%. But here's the thing about Bellinger is like, so he was from the Dodgers or the West Coast. And then, so he's matriculating his way East Coast. How's he going to fit in that New York atmosphere? Some people just don't. And I don't know him personally, obviously. He seems like kind of a laid back dude. I don't know if that really goes with, what's savages in the box or whatever Boone said that once. Like, I mean, I don't know if he's going to fit in over there, which is, we've talked about, I love Narrative Street. It's my favorite.
I do. Street. We're gonna ride down Narrative Street all night.
We're going to ride down Narrative Street all night. We're going to be drinking and driving. We're going to be smoking cigarettes. Actually, you're not doing any of this. I'm going to be doing it. And then you drive. And then that's where I cruise. I live on Narrative Street. But Cody Bellinger and the Yankees, there may be that thing where he doesn't fit in, but they're all professionals and it could all just be fine. But you mentioned Michael Buschbeer, who went nuts last year in his like full rookie season. Didn't he have like a 6-game stretch where he hit a home run every single game, which is, I think, broke a record?
I think it was five. He tied the record, which is also held by Christopher Morel. And by the way, Christopher Morel, man, like one of my favorite players this year. He's going so late in drafts. And I know last year didn't work out, like the 196 hurt and the power wasn't quite there. And I know. Yeah. But if you look at the underlying numbers, he cut his K rate. He improved his walk rate. He did all the things people have wanted him to do. The bat speed is elite. He hits the ball super hard. And his numbers really cratered at the trough. He liked hitting at Wrigley Field a lot more than he liked hitting at the Trop. He doesn't have to hit at the Trop anymore. He gets to hit at Steinbrenner Field. And you want to talk about short porches. Steinbrenner Field has the same dimensions the Yankee Stadium does. Now, Christopher Morel happens to be righty, and he likes to power things out over left. But he can go oppo. I have seen him hit a walk-off home run to right center at Wrigley Field. And so I'm just telling y'all, I think Christopher Morel is going to have a monster season, and you're going to know it in the first half. Because one of the interesting tidbits I learned from our friend Casey Bubba, Brian Intrican, the other night on one of the Bubba and the Bloom podcasts, the Rays schedule is front-loaded. They play 47 of their first 59 games at Steinbrenner Field. Perfect. So if there's a park effect coming to help the Rays, Christopher Morel, Brandon Lau, pick your favorite Ray. You're going to know it early, and I think we're going to see a surge for Morel.
You know I like this. You know I like this because, I don't like the fact that Tampa Bay got ravaged by a hurricane and blew off the roof of Trop. So that's why Christopher Morel and the Tampa Bay Rays are playing at the AAA Yankees field. But again, here we are on Narrative Street. Wow. Narrative Street is just keeps on going like Route 66. But so we keep going down Narrative Street. And yeah, you're right. Christopher Morel for the Rays, like he does that cool face,
double eye flash.
It's like three straight lines, you know, like he's Tron, you know, the movie Tron, like he's on one of those light motorbikes or whatever. That's what nice I think of when guy. Random. Movie references already kicking in the gear here at Plaza. I'm ready. That was from that was from like 1984. But
I remember Tron, man. I remember watching Tron on the reruns on the Disney Channel when I was a kid. But you asked about Cody Bellinger, and I went to Christopher Morel. So let's go back to Cody Bellinger for a second. I think
and Mike Bush too. Don't forget. You need to give us a skinny on Michael Bush.
So Cody Bellinger, I think, is going to fit in quite well at Yankee Stadium. I actually am not worried about him in the big city bright lights at all. The players I worry about going to play for the New York Yankees are guys who are coming from like Kansas City or Detroit. Or no offense to Kansas City or Detroit. I love your people. You're all great. But the press is just not as in your face. And they're not as in your face all the time in those areas as they are in New York. I think the only markets that really compare to the Yankees for the purposes of like how many questions are you getting? How frequent are those questions? How hard are those questions? Are the fans going to turn on you in an instant? Are like Boston, Philadelphia, and to a slightly lesser extent, Chicago and LA. Like those are places that expect to win and they expect you to do your part and they are not shy about it and you're going to get hard questions. Cody Bellinger has had hard questions for what, 4 years now? He went from being the best player in the universe to one of the worst players in the universe to a pretty good player to not quite the best year he's ever had. And I think that he's going to be just fine with that New York press. It also helps the way Jed Hoyer structured that deal and the reason that they had to trade him for like quite almost a bag of balls, like literally like, we'll give you $5 million. You take Cody Bellinger. We will take this random relief pitcher also named Cody. By the way, first Cody trade in the history of MLB. Shout out Sarah Langs. Whoa, I love
that's
that.
That's a great stat. Yeah.
The first Cody trade ever, people. The Codys are equalized. It's the forces are level in the universe. Cody Bellinger is out there to prove himself. He wants to opt out and earn more money or do so well that, you know, he's there for the Yankees the next year and he gets to do it again. So I really think Cody Bellinger has a thing to prove. He's going to fit in just fine there. And if he puts up a 117 WRC plus, plays excellent center field defense, keeps Aaron Judge from getting hurt, fills in at first base sometimes, depending on what happens with their first base situation, and just golfs out 26 home runs over the short porch, Yankees fans are going to love him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's just a lovable guy. But, you know, hanging out, feeling the cool vibes in L.A. is a little bit different when you go 0 for 30 in New York, you know.
He's going to have to shave.
Fan reactions would be my bet on those scenarios. But we're doing a live stream, Sarah. I love live streaming. I love the fact that people come and say hello. So let's look and see what people are saying. EA all day. What up, EA all day? Great to see you. Hi, guys. Nice to see you back in my feed. Happy holidays. Thank you. It is great to see you, too. We're getting our off-season juices flowing. There's going to be more podcasting coming up. Michael Govier had a work commitment, unfortunately. Could not make it, but that's all right because we're going to keep on live streaming. We're going to keep on going, and hopefully he and Mike V will be back very, very, very soon. Thank you, Sarah, for coming. You are greatly appreciated. Donovan, what up? Donovan Miller, live baseball talk. Yes, absolutely. We're doing it. Where's Mike? We got two mics, man. I don't know.
They're hanging out with the Codys. They're celebrating the Cody for Cody trade.
Codys and Mikes and Brads and Chads. I don't know what these dudes are doing half the time. They're taking care of business, but that's all right. I'm going to hopefully keep moving this into a weekly thing. So y'all please keep go to YouTube and subscribe, and I'm going to keep doing an off season because I'm Sarah, I don't know about you, but I started my first NFBC draft and hold league Monday. And I'm starting to feel it. I'm getting it. I got the second overall pick. I took Shohei Ohtani, and I'm like, yeah, come on.
Who went number one?
Bobby Witt.
Okay. You know, I have not done a draft and hold yet. I did a gladiator out at First Pitch Arizona, and then I did my first like real gladiator. You know, the gladiators you do at the start of November don't feel the same as the gladiators mm-hmm. you do in mid-December. Okay. There's no projections. There's no ADP. You're just kind of like YOLOing that. So I did my first like projections. I've done some research on this and given it some additional thought. Gladiator the other night. It was a tough room, man. There were some real good players in that room. But like I said, I'm still kicking myself at that. I stared at that Shea Langeliers Bellinger four picks later thing for about 10 minutes last night. I was like, I should have gone with Cody. I should have just taken Francisco Alvarez on the back end. And I didn't. And I'm kicking myself.
It is so funny you mentioned that because this is 100% true. I never tell a lie when it comes to Shea Langeliers. I promise. But maybe not last year, maybe the year before, but within a couple of years, I did a gladiator and I timed out of one of my picks. And at the top of my queue was Shea Langeliers, and it auto drafted him and put Shea Langeliers in my UT spot. I finished, and that was also the year where I drafted Frankie Montas, you know, and then he got injured and was out for the whole season. Yeah. So I literally started the season with 8 healthy pitchers, or it may be, anyway, a bunch of bad things happened. I finished dead last. I don't mean in my league. I mean in the entire Gladiator NFBC universe, like 3,500 out of 3,500. It was amazing.
So,
I mean, that's tough to do. I actually took a snapshot of it, and I need to post that up so people can see it. I mean, let's just say my Gladiator experience wasn't great.
So the thing about that is, I kind of feel like if you take dead last, there should also be an award for that, because that is also a skill in some, to some extent. Mm. Like, dead last with a team that looks like it could actually compete, you know, that's hard.
Failures were celebrated, I'd be the Tom Brady of us.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Some of my epic failures. But anyway, let's see. Hey, look, Jeff says Cubs making moves. We haven't even talked about the biggest one yet, Jeff.
We haven't even
broached that topic. We'll get to it. Hang on 1 second. So here's Chad. What up, Chad?
Never giving up on Christopher Morel, ever.
Never. Sorry, which is Chad. Funny because Chad is a noted a Morel hater, as I recall. Chad, don't let me put words in your mouth or anything, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Good to see you, Chad. Let's see. Who else is up here today? Sound of Money. It was impressive, I'm sure. He's talking about us or not. Anyway, Sarah, we got to talk about Kyle Tucker. My favorite player to draft last year, 27 or maybe 28, in the prime, got derailed by a shin or some type of lower leg issue. Who knows? But that's a distant memory, right? Tell me what you think about Kyle Tucker at the Cubs.
Oh, I'm so excited. Before I say my piece about Kyle Tucker, though, because I'm going to say the whole thing, I do want to say a little tiny piece about Shea Langeliers this year.
Hit me. I love, give me some Langeliers.
So the reason that he's kind of my, like, my break glass in case of emergency catcher is I think he is going to benefit from the A's moving out of Oakland a lot. He's one of these guys that was much better on the road than he was at home. Sutter Health Park is not like a hitter's paradise, but it's not the Coliseum. And I really think Shea Langeliers could be one of those guys that we see as a breakout catcher. So take a look at his splits, and, you know, obviously you do you, but I think that playing in Sacramento is going to be great for him. All right, the fun part, Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is a beast. And the thing that the Cubs have been missing since they traded the World Series core is elite talent. I think the last player that you can think of is like he was that guy for the Cubs. And I know he's not that guy anymore, so don't mistake me for, I understand how time works. But like 2018 Javier Baez was a dude. 2018 Javier mm-hmm. Baez was like leading the league in RBIs at the half and hitting the cover off the ball and doing El Mago tricks. And it was amazing, right? Chris Bryant was a stud. Chris Bryant at his, he's not anymore. I don't know what happened. I don't know how he fell off. Something about that 2016 team, man. There were a bunch of really talented guys who all just kind of like fell off a cliff. And I'm not saying the Cubs should have extended them, but rookie of the year, MVP, World Series champion. Like that's the type of run that you want from an elite guy, right? Kyle Tucker is one of those dudes. Kyle Tucker is a, you run the numbers from 2021 to now. He is in the top 15 players overall by Fangraphs WAR, the top 12 players overall by Baseball Reference WAR. He's one of the 5 best outfielders in the league. And unlike a lot of guys in that outfield list, you kind of like go down it. You're like, oh, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, you know. Kyle Tucker can play defense. Kyle Tucker is out there like Mookie Betts, robbing home runs and throwing guys out at the plate. He's not just a bat. And this is no shade to Juan Soto, who I think is the second coming of Ted Williams and who I love. But like, if you can take Kyle Tucker's defense and you get basically the same counting stats from a home run on base percentage situation, and then you add in some stolen bases, obviously I like the Juan Soto deal better in the long term, but in the short term, Kyle Tucker's a pretty nice consolation prize. It's the first time the Cubs have done something since they traded Yu Darvish to the Padres, that signaled to me they actually want to compete and not this, like, we're going to kind of sneak into the back door of the playoffs compete. Like, we're going to try to put together a roster that might win the NL Central, which is one of the weakest divisions ever, and you should have been trying to do it the whole time. So this is my long wrap on this. The Kyle Tucker move is my second favorite move that Jed Hoyer has ever made. Craig Counsell actually is the first one, because that was just savage, man. He just went out and, like, got his rival's manager and then, like, stealth fired a guy and was just like, nope, I think this manager is worth three more wins than that manager, and I'm just going to make it happen. Incidentally, Craig Counsell won the exact same number of games as David Ross with the exact same roster. So at this point, it's like, Jed, this is on you. And so Jed Hoyer went out and got him Kyle Tucker. And I think that is correct. You go get a guy who can have a 6-plus war season for you. I had Kyle Tucker on a couple of teams last year, too. He was on pace for like an 8-9 war campaign. If you go look at the war he was accumulating before that injury, and then when he came back, he was still that guy. So I think the Cubs got a stud. I hope the signal here is the Cubs are going to finally start playing in the big boy sandbox of extensions. The plan should be acclimate Kyle Tucker to Wrigley, let him see all the King Tuck shirts that my friend Joe at Obvious Shirts is probably already printing. Let him see Wrigley Field at 1:20 on a Friday afternoon in June, and then offer that man $12 million and some contract that starts with a 4 and ends with 8 other digits, and build a team around that. Because the Cubs have a very good farm system. I mean, Cam Smith, who, in my opinion, is the best player that went to the Astros in that deal. We can talk about Isak Paredes in a second because he's going to have a real nice fantasy season.
And we need to talk about Matt Schnaw, too.
Yeah. But Cam Smith is the best player that was in that deal. Cam Smith was the Cubs' 7th best prospect, according to MLB Pipeline last year. He is immediately the Astros' 1st best prospect. That's where those farm systems are at.
Yep.
So.
No, yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. You're right. Kyle Tucker is, you know, in the prime of his career. Hopefully he's put everything with the weird injury and how the Astros treated it was also kind of weird. And maybe that kind of rubbed everybody the wrong way. And now he's got a fresh start, a new city, a great manager in Craig Counsell. And he's just probably excited, you know, to come to work and get things going for the Cubs as one of MLB's premier teams, obviously. And you mentioned Isak Paredes, not Isaac, Isak Paredes out the door, which opens up playing time for one of my favorite prospects I have in Otter New League, Matt Schaw, to play third base for the Chicago Cubs. He had a great – he's one of their top prospects. Or maybe he is the top prospect now that Cam's gone. But, all right, so he started out double A last year, 14 home runs, 25 stolen bases with a .278 batting average. Very good. So he got promoted to AAA. His batting average got better. Now it's only 35 games, so you know we'll see how they play it. But 7 home runs, 6 stolen bases, power, speed, and a great hit tool. Can he play third base? I guess that's the real question. Is he major league? He can hit, but can he come up and play defense at third base for the Cubs?
Yeah, I think he can. I actually think he can play third base defense better than Isak Paredes or Christopher Morel or any of the people that the Cubs have been trying to pretend, or Patrick Wisdom, all of the guys that the Cubs have been trying to pretend are third basemen since Chris Bryant was not there anymore. He is better than all of them. And frankly, I think Chris Bryant is just a smidge below Aramis Ramirez. Like, I actually feel like there's been a third base hole in Chicago since Aramis Ramirez left. And until Chris Bryant came, and then of course that wasn't forever, so it was kind of like eh. I think that Matt Schaw is going to be great for the Cubs. I think Cam Smith is actually going to be great for the Astros too. On the Matt Schaw side of things, he put on a show in the Premier 12 competition this offseason. If you were paying attention to that, there was a game that he had in that international competition. This is kind of like one of those Venezuela plays the cup, plays the U.S. team, plays Canada, plays whoever type of competitions. I was reading stats that he put on a clinic that has not been put on since Ken Griffey Jr. was in that competition. 7 RBI games, going 4 for 5, double home run type of situation. I mean, he was just hitting the cover off the ball. So Matt Schaw absolutely should be on people's radar. at third base. I think he's probably the starting first baseman from opening day. I don't think the Cubs have another option unless they sign somebody. So real excited.
Yeah, for what it's worth, in roster resource, that's who they have starting for the Cubs on opening day is Matt Shaw. Again, for what it's worth. But, you know, he's just so talented and he looks to be ready. But, of course, I am completely biased.
However, that said, the other name in this deal, the guy who went to the Astros, who Cam Smith.
Yeah.
If he's available in any of your dynasty keeper news type of situations, he had a very limited set of appearances with the Cubs this year. He was their first round draft pick in 2024. So I think he's only got like, I don't know, 40 plate appearances here and 40 plate appearances there and whatever. But the numbers are incredible. He didn't start actually seeing any challenges to his skills till he hit double A late this offseason. And I imagine he is going to be in the Astros lineup sooner rather than later, because my thought is that they want Isak Paredes to be their first baseman.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Isak for a second, because he was not great in Chicago. But Isak's superpower is the man knows how to lift a fly ball to the poolside.
Oh, yeah.
And it, at the Trop, that is a 315-foot trip. And that led to a 33 home run season for Isak Paredes.
Every single home run, you could see it. It's like that little, you know, pin drop. It's all right there. Like, he knew what he was doing and he did it well. You know, we'll see though, right? I mean, that was pretty magical what he was doing at the Trop.
It was, and you can't do that at Wrigley Field because of that same cutout that's on the left field side versus the right field side. But you can do it to the Crawford boxes. And I have, this is one of those like win-win-win type of fantasy baseball deals. Like, it's a great deal in the real baseball world, but it's also a win for fantasy players, because Isak Paredes is going to be a lot more fantasy relevant in Houston than he was in Chicago. And if he moves over to first base and he has first base and third base eligibility, that is helpful for people. Cam Smith has the potential to be a star. And yeah. So all of the guys who kind of moved here, maybe with the exception of Hayden Wisniewski, should be rostered on a standard 15-team team. Although, the Astros are really good at developing pitching. And Wisniewski is one of these guys. I heard Eno, I think it was Eno the other day. I listen to a lot of baseball podcasts. So if I'm about to give Eno credit for something somebody else said, I apologize. But I think what Eno called it was, Hayden Wisniewski's arsenal is the baby Michael King starter kit. It's a sweeper. It's a good fastball. He just hasn't put it all together. And so there's a non-zero chance that the Astros untap what the Cubs were trying to untap with Hayden Wisniewski. And everybody I talked to out in Chicago, they did not want to put Hayden Wisniewski in that deal. They believe in Hayden Wisniewski as a pitching talent. And so I do think that he's a guy to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah. You're not getting out light. You know, you're just not. So.
Are you really listening to this show on the Crapper? If you are, that's fine. Lotto Podcast will be right back.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I thought that was a great deal. I think the Cubs are making great deals. We're going to have Sarah back on during the season, hopefully sooner than later, and we can see how the Cubs start out. And then we may have to have the Jed Hoyer hour where, you know, the Cubs are winning the division, and we may get Sarah to admit that he's made all the right moves, and maybe her heart for Jed, like the Grinch, you know, does a little thing where it pops open, Merry Christmas, everyone, and the little thing goes a little bit bigger, just a little bit bigger. We'll see. But, you know, they got to perform on the field first. But, all right, we could talk about the Cubs' moves all day. I know I could. I love all the moves they've made. I love it opening. I love Michael Bush at first. Actually, I love Matt Shaw. Yeah, I'm down with some Cubs this year. I'll tell you that. Justin Steele has always been a favorite of mine. Is Porter Hodge the closer? And I don't want to make this, you know, too much, you know, too much of the Cubs thing. But while I got you here, I know you know this stuff. Is that who I need to draft if I want the Cubs closer?
All right, so I'm about to burst your bubble on the Porter Hodge thing, but before I do, we were talking about Michael Bush a second ago, and I apologize. This is a little back and forth. Yeah, Britton and I have a tendency to do this, but that's just what it's like to hang out with me in Britton.
Bush.
But Michael Bush splits for home and away for Wrigley Field last season, 97 WRC plus at home, 133 on the road. So that breakout season from Michael Bush mostly happened on the road. That park factor for Wrigley Field last year was an anomaly. That is not how Wrigley normally plays for home runs. So Michael Bush could be a breakout candidate too. Let's go back to the real question that you asked, which was about Porter Hodge.
Mm.
I think Porter Hodge is the closer on the depth chart right now. What I'm hearing, and I apologize, this Quinn. Quinn is my parents' golden lab, and she's adorable, and she's just going to make herself heard during this
podcast. All is well. All are welcome to the Palazzo podcast. Fantasy baseball. All walks, all sizes, whatever you got. And it sounds like Quinn's a fan of Porter Hodge.
Well, Porter Hodge is a Utah kid, and we're sitting here in Utah, so maybe that's what she likes about him.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Hey, Utes.
Porter Hodge is the closer right now, and after the Cubs finally moved most of Bellinger's money, I'm hearing that the things they are most likely to do with that money are either trade for another starting pitcher who costs a little bit more, so bolster that rotation, push Steele, Taillon, Shota, everybody down a notch and see if you can get like a real stud in that rotation, or go for a closer. They're connected to Kirby Yates. They're connected to Jeff Hoffman. They have employed David Robertson in the past. I'm not sure any of these guys is a better pitcher than Porter Hodge right now. But if you look at what happened last year, we're like watching the Adbert Alzolay movie all over again, right?
I know. Pour one out for Adbert, man. Ugh. Oh, well.
He was one of my favorite Cubs. This team is breaking my heart with their moves. I was at Adbert's debut, and watching him close for the Cubs was super fun. And heal that elbow, come back strong. Adbert's nasty when he's on and healthy. We watched this movie last year, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Adbert was the closer, definitely the closer. Oh, they signed Hector Neris. Does that make Adbert the closer? Maybe. I don't know. And suddenly it's a mess, right? And so I think that Porter Hodge, if I'm answering this question today, is the closer. And I'm not safe. I don't feel safe with him as my closer. One, I feel better with him as my closer, too.
A lot of things are going to happen before we get to opening day, no doubt. But we're just having a good conversation. Let me run back to the chat, see if anybody's talking. What up? I see Chad's up here. Thank you, Chad. Hey, let me see. Chad, what up, man? Hang on. Okay. Oh, there we are. Hey, Chad says Luke Little and Jack Neely are closer candidates and waiting for the Cubs.
Can I add one more name to
that? Who the hell is Luke Little?
Okay, Luke Little is like a 6'8" giant, which is really fun.
Oh, like the Robin Hood guy. I got you.
Yeah, one of the things that I was actually very frustrated by when the Morrell trade happened was that they threw Hunter Biggie into that deal. And so Hunter Biggie, who throws 100, is now a Ray. And we used to have Biggie and Little on the team, which was great, and we don't anymore. And I really feel like that was a missed marketing opportunity, and I'm kind of sad about it.
Biggie Smalls, oh yeah, there's something there.
But no, Luke Little is great. He has the angle the ball comes out of his hand at is filthy and ridiculous. I don't think they see him as a closer. I think that he's had some control issues, and they kind of see him as more of a high leverage guy. Jack Neely, though, you're absolutely right. That's what they traded for him for. He is a guy who could be a closer. I want to add one more name to this, though, because I think a guy that people have forgotten exists on the Chicago Cubs, and I almost took him with my last pick in a Gladiator the other night, but Bubba Chandler was still available, so I took Bubba Chandler instead. Ben Brown exists, and Ben Brown is the guy that I think, if Porter Hodge struggles at all, is the closer for the Cubs, because he is a two-pitch arsenal that is filthy, I watched him take a no-hitter, I think into the fifth or sixth inning last year. That dude could close. And there are people around the Cubs who know it. And I think Ben Brown is the guy who you're kind of like, could be a starter, could be a closer. And the Cubs have a really awesome crew of pitchers, right? Like it's a weird group of pitchers because they don't have some of the strikeout numbers that you see from other teams, but they get a lot of outs and a handful of their guys just have filthy pitches.
I can't wait to see what Shota does in his second season. You know, some glass half full versus glass half empty people can look at how he did, you know, either way, depending on, you know, how you want to frame your narrative. But yeah, you know, so the between him and the LA Dodgers, you know, Yamamoto, it's almost kind of, you want to do a reverse fade now. You kind of want to fade Shota a little bit and maybe take a little bit of dip on Yamamoto. But of course we'll see how that goes. Oh, hey, we hear Quinn, and guess who else? Donovan Miller. What up, Don? What up, DM? He's like, give us more Quinn. I think we're going to have
to. She's sitting back there looking at you,
Donovan. We've got a celebrity dog appearance here. Sounds like the plot. Sounds like, oh, there's Quinn. Hey, Quinn. Sounds like Plaza is going to have to start writing some checks for all these guest appearances. I don't. We'll find some room in the budget. Let's go ahead and talk about some. Oh, there might have been some other bad offseason moves. There's this Juan Soto character going to the Mets where he hits well everywhere. I don't think it adds any, it means anything, frankly, where Juan Soto goes. He's going to be great. He's going to be successful. You know, Juan Soto is going to Juan Soto. Is there anything that you can think of that says otherwise?
There's nothing that makes me say otherwise, except that I will say I read a nugget, and this is one of those things I love. I was actually talking to one of my GLARF league mates, and I'm sure one of friends of this show, Eric Halterman, over at RotoWire. And Juan Soto is one of these players that I consider, like, he has a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove to the world what he can do. And when you see him with like the Soto shuffle and the, you know, his like bat flips and everything, I don't think that's showing off. I think that's Juan Soto out here. Like, I know exactly who I am and I know exactly what I'm capable of. And I am going to use whatever number of years and at bats that I have in baseball to put myself in that you are one of the best players of all time conversation. And I think he knows he's capable of that. And so I actually expect that Juan Soto on the Mets is just going to be unbelievable to watch. I think that's – if I were choosing players to invest in, Juan Soto would be at the top of my list with a bullet. And he just has that – he has that dynamic around him, right, where it's like, oh, no, Juan Soto's going to get stuff done.
I can't wait for the Mets and the Yankees all year. You know, when Juan Soto was a Yankee for only 1 year, but he was highly successful. He hit, what, 40-something home run. You know, he thrived just like he would anywhere. But, yeah, when he's back at the Yankee Stadium, you know, throughout the year, that's going to be fun. So, I mean, I can't think of a better place other than the Yankees. I can't think of a better place for him to end up than the New York Mets. I really can't, you know, maybe Boston. But that doesn't seem like a good fit for some reason.
Citi Field is a pitcher's park, but not in a way that's going to diminish the light of Juan Soto. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think we have to worry about Juan Soto being able to hit anywhere in the universe. I do think it is worth noting that Juan Soto is like on a Ted Williams-esque type of track. And the one thing I think about a lot is that Ted Williams never got to finish. We never saw the full career of Ted Williams. Ted Williams went to World War II. He then got drafted to go to Korea. So there's this huge hole in like prime Ted Williams where we don't have any stats for it because he's at war. And I wonder what Juan Soto is going to do with that type of run, right? Hopefully Juan Soto doesn't get drafted anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, at 1 minute, Ted Williams is flying, you know, bomber missions over Berlin, you know, in a B-50 or whatever. And then he just comes back and he's like, all right, time to go play baseball. I'm like, man, talk about the greatest generation.
Dude, but, you want a book about Ted Williams that'll blow your mind. There's a
Yes, I do. I love reading book, so Ted, any baseball book.
This is a crazy story, but a friend of mine who's a big Ted Williams buff put me onto it, and I read this book last year. I gave it to a bunch of my friends for Christmas. There's a book called The Wingman. So if you're a pilot, you have a wingman, right? Like guy who's got your back. Ted Williams and John Glenn were in the same carrier group, like the same group in Korea, and they became lifelong friends. Wow. And so like one of the first men to walk on the moon and the best hitter of all time were like buddies who met in the Korean War and flew together. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Go get the book.
What's the name of it again?
The Wingman.
The Wingman. Okay. I will definitely go check it out. I love reading books, any book I can soap up about baseball. There was one I read the other day called K, and it's the writer is writing stories about, you know, the history of like the curveball and, anyway, I digress. But hey, speaking of the Red Sox, my boy, I never met him and he's never met me, but we're boys.
Yeah, I got you.
Because we're both University of Tennessee Volunteers. Go Vols. Okay, Ohio State. We'll see how that goes. Not real excited about it. But anyway, Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox. I kind of like it. What do you think? Do you have any it's better than pitching for the White Sox. I get that. But I don't really like pitchers at Fenway. I love Fenway. Don't get me wrong. I'm Sarah, my wife, and I went there many years ago, and we loved Boston. We loved Fenway. But if you're a pitcher, I don't think it's so great. What do you think?
So, fun fact about Fenway, it's definitely a hitter's park, not a pitcher's park. It played a little bit more favorable to pitchers last year, which is not something we think about, but it is worth keeping in mind when you're looking at some of those numbers, like a Tanner Houck, for example, or a Bayo. I don't think any of that matters for Garrett Crochet, because the thing that Garrett Crochet is going to do is strike you out. I love what the Red Sox are doing here, and I do think it's worth remembering last year when they put, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox.
Dabrowski?
No. They replaced Heim Bloom, and they brought in, and I can picture him, he's Craig Breslow. Craig Breslow, former director of pitching for the Cubs. So when I was a second ago kind of like rattling off all those like deep bullpen guys the Cubs have, and they've got Cade Horton and Justin Steele's overperforming and all that type of stuff, Craig Breslow was the architect of all of that. And so I love that he's running the Red Sox now. And every time he makes a pitching move, I am paying attention. I think Garrett Crochet is a great get for the Red Sox. I'm not worried about him falling off at all. The one thing I'm worried about with Crochet is injury, just because every guy that throws that hard gets hurt. And there was a really great report out from MLB this week on pitcher injuries and velocity and stuff and the impact that it's had. And so I'm not sure that anybody is immune to that. And Garrett Crochet certainly fits the bill of the type of guy who would have a higher injury risk because of how hard he throws. But, man, when you get to watch him pitch, he's great.
Yeah, I hope Garrett Crochet goes years and years and years without any type of serious injury. He's going to have some injury because everybody does, 10-day, 12, 15-day, whatever the IL is here or there. Plus, it's a long season. Everybody needs a break. But, you know, if somebody put a gun to your head and said, you know, is Garrett Crochet going to have a serious injury in the next year or two? Yes or no? I mean, the answer is going to be yes, if you're like, life depends upon it. But hopefully that's not true. Garrett Crochet has got nasty stuff. You know, in the NFBC leagues, which is the, 15-team draft and hold for draft champions, or 12-team draft and hold, which are the 50s, man, he's like the third or fourth pitcher off the board. I mean,
he's going so early. I haven't gotten him anywhere.
Somebody's figured something out. Because these are, obviously money leagues. So Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox. Don't let it stop you. Get on that Garrett Crochet train. And we've got a couple more to talk about. Believe it or not, do you guess how many minutes have passed since we've started?
I have no idea.
Like 50.
Oh my God.
Like that. Yeah. And I'm like, is my clock wrong? I'm like, I was like, goodness gracious, it feels like
I haven't even been looking at the timer, honestly. I love chatting baseball with you. It's the most fun. And I think this is my fourth time on the Palazzo Pod. I love the Palazzo podcast. Two L's, two Z's, you talking to
me. You are too kind.
The time just flies here on the Palazzo
podcast. I could literally sit here for like another 3 hours. But But let's go ahead and get a few more in here. This is a guy that I love, Jake Berger to the Texas Rangers. What a great trade. Oh, I'm so excited for Jake Berger. First base, third base eligible. I really like that. The power's legit. His last name's Berger. I eat burgers. I love any type of burger, mushroom, Swiss, bacon, cheddar. I don't give a darn. See, I got so excited I almost started cussing. But Jake Berger to the Texas Rangers. I'm pretty pumped. Now you got Young at third, right? And you've got Nate Lowe at first. So are we talking DH? What do you think about the Jake Berger trade?
Yeah, I do think he's going to DH. Although I also think that like teams are doing this thing now where they want to give guys time off. They want to make sure that everybody has the at-bats that they need. So I imagine he plays first once a week, third once a week, DHs two or three times a week, and that's, you know, that's his week. I love Jake Berger. So two fun facts about this one. Jake Berger has been one of those cheap sources of like 30 home runs, and I don't think it's going to be that cheap anymore. I think that everybody's finally figured out that this is a legit power bat who can rake.
Like Ozuna, you know, it's like for 100%. Some reason being drafted in the 10th, 11th, 12th round. And at some point, you just got to be like, this guy rakes and he hits
like, sign me up, right? Like, I'm into that all day. The second thing, though, Globe Life Park, what I was talking about, how I was looking at park effects recently, is a park that had a strange outlier, very down year last year. And so there are some players that impacted and some players that didn't. But the one of the reasons, so when I talk about park effects, when we talk about park effects, we are always looking for two things. One, was there a structural change? Did the wall go up or come down or come in or foul territory? Like, you want a structural change, right? Was there a sign put in across the street? In the absence of that, was there a move? Like, did something physically move? Like, did the humidor exist and it didn't exist before or whatever? In the absence of that, a single year park effect is most likely noise. And you want to look at the 3 year versus the 1 year to try to identify the places that just played unlucky for a year, right? Globe Life was the second most unlucky park last season. The least lucky park for hitters last season was the Cubs. It was Wrigley Field. I feel like Corey Seager, Berger, Josh Young, Nathaniel Lowe, and new Ranger Jake Berger, I think the offense is going to come back to Globe Life. And I'm not scared of drafting Rangers at all. I think that was a weird park effect outlier. And yeah, sign me up for some Jake Berger.
There's a reason why the teams that hit the most home runs typically go into the playoffs more often than not. Now, like there are exceptions, like the Guardians, for instance, but they're just so strong defensively. And, you know, they have some other things they're pitching that is really goes for them too. But yeah, man, if you want to be consistently successful, you got to hit home runs. LA had the most home runs. New York had the, you know, second most home runs. And guess what? They're in the World Series. Now, of course, there's a million other things that go into that. But, you know, it's consistently, which teams that hit the most home runs are more successful. That's just kind of a mathematical fact. And that's what I love about the Rangers getting burgers. Like, man, they just added, you know, considering health, obviously, 30, 40 bombs to their, you know, end of the year ledger. So I love it. I love that team. They've got a great manager too, obviously. Let me sneak in one more on you. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
I thought this was under the radar. Maybe that's not to steal that from the DVR and those guys, but this didn't get a whole lot of fanfare, but it really piqued my interest because the Baltimore Orioles apparently aren't re-signing Santander after his 44 bomb season, which is weird because he was kind of a team guy, right? Like he was well beloved, but apparently they let him walk to get Tyler O'Neill, the oft injured, very talented, but not the healthiest person in the world. And I know he's going to DH probably 90% of the time, but they signed him to real money, Sarah. Like he's the guy. He's the guy. What do you think about Tyler O'Neill to the Baltimore Orioles?
Not only did they sign Tyler O'Neill to real money, they're bringing the wall down in left field a little bit. So Mount Baltimore is coming down a little bit. I think that's great news for O'Neill. that's where he, that's, you know, his happy playground over there. I also think that this is a really great sign. So yes, Tyler O'Neill, I'm into Tyler O'Neill, by the way. I love the Red Sox signing him. I couldn't believe the Cardinals gave up on him. He kind of seemed like the most Cardinals guy ever. And I just
there was a weird spat between him and the manager, right?
Yeah, Ollie Marmol threw him under the bus and pretended he wasn't like part of the Cardinal way or whatever. Anytime Ollie Marmol is like, I'm not into this guy, I'm like, I'm in. Like, sign me up for more of that guy. Jordan Walker, maybe not this season, maybe two more years when they trade him, but like Jordan Walker, get a rake for someone. Look at the history of MVPs from the championship series for the last few years. Randy Rosarena, Adolis Garcia, Tommy Edman. These are all guys the Cardinals gave up on in some way, shape, or form. Tyler O'Neill is going to be one of those guys. Jordan Walker is one of those future guys. I just believe it in my soul. It is going to happen. So
they're trying to give up on Nolan Arenado as we speak, which
they are trying.
I don't blame them, man. That dude can't hit there for whatever reason. So.
But one of the guys who's really going to benefit from that wall coming down is Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah.
Ryan Mountcastle had a 30 home run season, and then they built a wall that contained all of Ryan Mountcastle's home runs. And right. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Put a sign up there that said F you, Castle.
Why did you do that to your guy? So I hear you on Santander. I do wonder, though, depending on where Santander goes, I got to see him play in the World Baseball Classic, and he hit just towering home runs, just like absolutely towering long balls. And sign me up for some Santander.
He hit like the third most home runs in the league this last year. You know, he had a great season. But yeah, Tyler O'Neill. If there's a draft where I leave Tyler, where I don't have Tyler O'Neill drafted, I'm something went wrong. I'm going to leap up a few rounds.
Tyler O'Neill is one of my targets, and so is Ryan Mountcastle, for that matter.
Yeah, the Orioles know what they're doing, and they've done their work. I'm not a big fan of work, but the Orioles are. And
well, you know who the homework. Orioles are, right? And this is actually one of those fun facts.
Mike Elias is still in charge, right? So somebody knows something.
But they, the Orioles front office has a bunch of the old Astros people in it.
Yep.
So, like, all of the people who built that Astros dynasty kind of trickled their way out to Baltimore over time. And not all of them, but, like, enough of the key people that every time the Orioles do something, I'm keeping my eye on it. And I have a hunch that that wall is coming down just enough to help their pitchers and just enough to help their hitters. That would be my hunch.
There's definitely a reason for it. They're not doing it for kicks and giggles. They're doing it for a reason. And they signed Tyler O'Neill for it. Sometimes you just got, or this is just me. I'm speaking of just myself. I just trust the process there. And I could be wrong. And Tyler O'Neill could get injured the third game and all that's for naught. But I'm definitely interested because I don't think you're going to have to pay full price for Tyler O'Neill for what he's going to produce. I don't think you're. Berger, you're kind of in that neighborhood. Crochet, you're paying overpriced, but sometimes, you know, when you want, if he goes 180 innings with 220 Ks and whatever else, you know, sometimes you just got to get those players. So, but here we are at about an hour. I can't believe it went by this fast. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the Palazzo podcast. Letting us in on all the Chicago Cubs information, the park factors, and hopefully next time we can talk a little bit more about you know I love the Oakland Athletics. Well, they're not the Oakland Athletics anymore. I guess they're the West Sacramento. Excuse me.
I think they're just calling themselves the Athletics for a while.
I want them to be the Nashville Athletics, Sarah. Why can't they be the Nashville Athletics? Somebody tell me why.
Hey, I was hoping they'd be the Salt Lake City Athletics. I don't know why they're playing in Sacramento instead of in Salt Lake, but whatever.
I know. Yeah, who knows? That's all boardroom stuff. I don't know. So anyway, thank you so much for being here. Please tell us all. Yeah, please tell us all once again where to hit you up on X. And also your podcast. What's new with that? Are y'all kicking up episodes or what's going on?
We took a little bit of a break after the off season. We're going to jump back into it. So stay on the lookout for some new fantasy feuds dropping before the new year. And yeah, Shelly and I, basically, it's a debate podcast, right? So we do all the same things that you're getting on all of your fantasy baseball podcasts, but we turn it into a debate. So which Contreras brother would you rather have catching? Or who's your number one SP overall? Is it Tarek Skubal or is it Paul Skeens or is it somebody else and why? Like, we turn all of that into a debate. So it's kind of a fun little twist on your regular podcast. You can find that on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. Please be subscribed to that for all of your great Pitcherless content over there. You can find my fantasy writing at Baseball HQ. You can find my Cubs writing at BleedCubbyBlue.com. And you can find me on all of the socials at BCB_Sarah. You can find me, except Blue Sky. Blue Sky does not allow underscores. So on Blue Sky, I am BCB Sarah.
And before we go, I just saw a name pop up in the chat that I want to give a quick shout out to. Who's that? Well, look at there. Hey, there's Sam. Thank you for coming by to say hello, Sam. Good to see you. I'm wearing one of Sam's Palazzo t-shirts that he designed and brought. I wear it with pride, and thank you, Sam. Good to see you, and hopefully we'll have he'll come on too for more Palazzo as we get this train moving. Sarah, it's been great. I don't know what to say. I hope you can come back sooner than later and talk some more fantasy baseball.
Anytime, man. And Sam, I hope you got to meet Quinn because I know you love dogs.
We're going to have to do one with Quinn too. You know what's going to be funny is next time I do the Palazzo, it's just going to be Quinn, you know, sitting in that chair with a dog headphones on.
We'll just put Quinn. We'll put Quinn front and center, and we'll like give her. We'll give her two players, and Quinn can like put her little paw up.
Yeah. Jake Berger or Tyler O'Neill with my next pick. One bark O'Neill, one two barks Berger.
We should let Quinn draft one
better
team,
than just whatever
one team.
I did.
Just one team. Which one?
Everyone, thank you for being here. Chad, Sam, Donovan, Jeff, everybody for showing up in the live chat. Thank you so much. We're working out the kinks, but we're going to get regular shows going. Everyone have a very, very Merry Christmas. Baseball's coming around the corner. Peace.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.